always seem to get right is the wind. I was thinking about that this morning, and it's like, well, that's because the wind blows here about 3/4 of the time, doesn't it? So it's a pretty easy prediction. But anyway, welcome to worship here at First Reformed.
Yes, there we go. Did you all already hear what I said anyway? All right, welcome to worship. Welcome to worship this morning, and the wind's blowing. Call to worship this morning, I'm going to read from Psalm 150, the last chapter of the book of Psalms. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the trombone and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Please join us this morning in singing our first song, which is You Are the Reason We Sing.
We come to worship your name. You alone are worthy. We crown you King of Kings. Holy, 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 let the praises ring. You're the one we worship. You're the reason that we sing. Jesus, we come to worship your name. You alone are worthy. We crown you King of Kings. Holy, 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 let the praises ring. You're the one we worship. You're the reason that we sing.
As we were traveling last night home, it was late and in the dark and so forth and whatnot, but I think this here next song, these first words kind of explain to me at least what we've seen. And the first words of this song, God, You Reign, it says, You paint the night, you count the stars, and you call them all by name. The skies proclaim, God, You Reign. So please join us in singing, God, You Reign.
By name, the skies proclaim, God, You reign. Your glory shines. You teach the sun when to bring a new day. Creation sings, God, You reign. God, You reign. God, You reign forever and ever. God, You reign. You part the seas. You move the mountains with the words that You say. My song remains. God, You reign. I live to say, God, You reign. God, You reign. God, You reign. Forever and ever.
next number this morning is 10,000 Reasons. We'd like you to stand with us this morning. When we were practicing this song this week, I was reminded that Dean and I have an anniversary this week, and we do. 26 years, and we were married in this church 26 years ago today. And I think we've probably sang at least 10,000 songs together in this church, and a lot of different things. So it's just so wonderful to see all your faces this morning. So let's stand and sing 10,000 Reasons.
Father, we thank you this morning for blessing us with this place to come together to worship you. We thank you for the gift of music, Lord. Can't imagine what this service today or what the world would be without music. We thank you for the freedoms you give us to worship you today without fear of retribution. Lord, we thank you for blessing us with the people around us to share this service. And Lord, we thank you for Pastor Frank and the word he will share with us today. Let it bless us and guide us in the week to come. In your almighty name we pray, amen. Turn around, greet each other, no handshaking, I guess, whatever you're comfortable with, keeping coronavirus in mind. All right, we will now have our responsive reading, which is going to be 659. You can find that in the back of your hymnal. 659, God's Invitation. Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money, and without cost. Give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. So in my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. All right. Few announcements this morning. If you note in the bulletin, still encouraging us to try and consistently to maintain 6-foot distance from one another when entering and exiting. And choosing a place to sit. They appreciate your cooperation in that. Looking at the numbers this morning and listening to what the consistory talked about before the service this morning, I think next Sunday, to make it more convenient, and if someone's still uncomfortable with the seating arrangement, they are going to open up the back and have seating available in the fellowship hall also, so you can feel comfortable maintaining your distance in this current COVID epidemic. And then they also are just trying to abide by what CDC rules are, and they cover that in the bulletin also. Other announcements, most of them covered in the bulletin. Continue our prayer concerns for Dawn Lucas, Bernita Koyman, and Jody Kerner as they're going through chemo. Of course, Pastor Dave and Ruth. Pastor Frank told us this morning Sue is doing really well. Sounds like she's had a good surgery and everything was successful, and she's doing pretty good, he says. So keep homebound Elaine Tucker in mind, and congratulations to Jason and Lacey on the birth of their son Asher. That's wonderful. Everything is going good, Jason? Where's Jason? He's shaking his head. Yeah, good. All right, anybody else, any other announcements, any concerns before we go to prayer? Anything anybody'd like to, anything we're missing? Okay. Hearing none, let's go to the Lord in our congregational prayer. Heavenly Father, we lift up to you today our many concerns and needs. We need you, Lord, to comfort, guide us, and lead us through the trials and struggles we face in our lives. Lord, we lift up to you those of our congregation that have special health needs. Pastor Dave and Ruth. Dave says he's struggling to get a good night's rest. We pray that you will grant that to him. We pray that you will guide the doctors and the nurses who care for him and give them the wisdom and knowledge to do what is best for Dave. Lord, give Ruth strength and let her feel your presence and love as she helps to support and care for Dave. Lord, be with other members of our congregation that are experiencing ongoing struggles with their health. We especially think of Dawn and Bernita and Jody. Their journeys have been long, Lord. Continue to give them comfort and the peace of mind that you have a divine plan for them and their lives. Lord, there may be some in our congregation that are going through some things privately that we are not aware of. Give them healing and comfort, Lord. We have committed many sins this past week through our thoughts, words, and deeds. Forgive us for those. We know that we are sinners and have sinned against you and our fellow man. Help us to seek out those we have sinned against to ask forgiveness. It might be a fellow co-worker, a neighbor, a family member or friend, or even you, Lord. We thank you for sending your son Jesus to this world to teach us and provide us with the perfect example of how to forgive and be forgiven. Heavenly Father, as events of this world unfold around us, sometimes we find it easier to let our prejudice and hatred surface and take control of our minds and our thoughts and our words. Forgive us for that, Lord. Help us to be more understanding of those we don't agree with or understand, whether it's our political leaders or the regular guy in the street. Help us to pray for them and teach them to pray for us. We pray that you move through the hearts of the people of this world who choose to use violence to inflict their wills on others. Work in them, Lord, and bring them the knowledge of you and your saving grace to change their hearts. Lord, as we sang earlier this morning, 10,000 reasons for our hearts to sing, we truly have been blessed by you and continue to receive more blessings than we deserve. Don't let the things of this world become our priorities and overshadow what we need to keep our hearts and minds pointed upwards towards you. Thank you for your grace, your forgiveness, and for sending us your Son, Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, we will have Ministry of Music by Keith and Shirley Van Dyne.
Most High, our God.
grace and majesty. He is alive. He is alive. God loves us so. See here his hands, his feet, his side. Yes, we know.
Keith and Shirley and Carol, thank you very much. Beautiful song. I was excited when I saw the bulletin this morning that we're going to sing this next song, 394, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. It's, I'd say, one of my favorite songs, but my list of favorite songs is way too long, so I don't know. There's a lot of them, but this is one of them. I always like singing this song because, to me, it's a good guy song. Right, Bill? Right, Al? It's a good guy song. So, guys, let's belt this thing out, all right? Let's go. Stand up and sing Just a Closer Walk with Thee, 394.
I did ask Susan to play that song today, to put it on the thing. It was my mother's favorite song, and I even today, I struggle getting all the way through it without thinking of her, and it's definitely one of my favorite songs also. Well, God has given us another beautiful day to come into this sanctuary and worship Him, hasn't He? It seems like He does that every Sunday, that we can come and just bow our heads and give Him glory and honor. Did anybody do what I asked you to last week, sometime this week? Read through the Gospel of Mark without getting up and going and getting something to eat, or just read all the way through it. I think, you know, it's the way they're supposed to be read. And the thing about it is when we read a book or a gospel like that, context is so important. And if you read all the way through, you get the context of what is going on, rather than just picking a passage here, a pericope here, or a pericope there. And so you get the whole context of what is going on. Well, if you were here last week, we started the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to continue with the Gospel of Mark as long as I'm up here preaching until Pastor Dave comes back, and we'll see what he has in mind. But I just want you to come closer to Jesus. I want you to know Jesus the man and Jesus the Messiah as He walked on this earth and as He gave His all and as He was building His church. And we saw last week where John the Crazy Baptist was sent out to introduce Jesus to the world. And of course, God had been introducing Jesus to the world all through the Old Testament. I think I told you last year when I was here that the Bible is divided in two groups. One is the Old Testament and one is the New Testament. The Old Testament is God telling us what He's going to do, and that is to send a Savior to save us, a Messiah to save us. And the New Testament is all about God telling us what He had done. He sent a Savior. He sent a Savior into our lives to save us. And so last week we saw where John the Baptist was sent to build a road. And I think I told you that back in those days, the king would send a messenger out to have the people come and to build a road for the king. Well, John the Baptist was building a road to the Messiah. Of course, they knew a Messiah was coming, but they thought He was going to be a different kind of a Messiah. They thought He was going to be an earthly king. A king that would destroy Rome, and Israel would go back to the way it was during King David's time. But that isn't why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come to be an earthly king. He came to be a heavenly king. So today we're going to continue on in Mark's gospel, and we're going to skip a couple of pericopes. Oh, I love that word. We're going to skip a couple of pericopes, and we're going to go up to chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. We're going to talk about discipleship today. You all know what being a disciple is all about? Well, today we're going to learn how. We already know the why, I think, but we're going to learn how to be a disciple of Christ. So let me read in Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 16. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once, or other translations have that word immediately. Remember last week I told you Mark used that word immediately a lot? Well, the NIV translated, "At once they left their nets and followed Him. When He had gone a little farther, He saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay," again, other translations say, immediately He called them, and they left their father Zebedee in a boat with the hired men and followed Him. Let us pray. Gracious God, holy God, it's so great to be back in this sanctuary again. Yeah, we've been able to watch worship on TV. We've been able to hear Pastor Dave and his ministry of preaching. We've heard the songs, and hopefully we've all sung along with them. We've prayed as Pastor Dave led us in prayer. But Lord, you have called us back. You've called us back to worship you. Guide us this morning, Lord, in this worship. Help us. Be with us. May all that is said and done be for your glory. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what was Jesus doing? What was he doing in our passage this morning? I think Jesus was looking ahead a couple thousand years, and he was seeing each one of you, and he was seeing me. I think Jesus was seeing us, because Jesus knew that building God's kingdom was going to be a lot of work. And Jesus knew that in 3 short years that he was going to be going to the cross. And he knew that he was going to be going back to heaven. And he knew that he needed to start his church, to start the building of his church. And that's what Jesus was doing here. He was beginning a church. He was beginning the building of his church. Not the building, but the church, the assembly of Christian people. An assembly of Christ's disciples. So with Simon and Andrew, Simon was Peter, of course, Simon and Andrew, and with James and John, Jesus knew that his church would continue on and it would reach us. And it is our job to be disciples of Christ, to continue that church on. And that's what we are to do, just like Peter and James and Peter and Andrew and James and John. We are to continue that church until he returns, until Jesus, he has promised, hasn't he? Jesus has promised to come back and take his church with him. But he asks us, he tells us, in the meantime, we are to build that church. We are to be his disciples. You know, I can honestly say, how many fishermen do we have here? With all these lakes, there's no fishermen in this congregation? Well, I'm like you. I'm not a great fisherman. I used to do a lot of fishing. We had a cabin up in Lake Big Stone for a number of years, and I did a lot of fishing, but I wasn't crazy about catching fish. You know, there's a difference, don't you, about fishing and catching fish. Well, I was the kind of guy, I loved to take a book with me and go out in the lake someplace and find some shade and read. The problem with Big Stone, it was a pretty good, I don't know how it is now, but it was back in those days, back in the mid-70s, I think it was a pretty good fishing lake. And those old fish, they didn't really know the difference between my lure and some good fish food, and they kept wanting to be caught, and I would lose my place in my book. So I can't say I'm a great fisherman. And therefore, I never really appreciated this story about fishing so much, because fishing was not a big deal for me. But I didn't understand why Peter and Andrew and James and John, they would leave their fishing to go with Jesus. To my way of thinking, just about anything was more fun than sitting out there and fishing. But we've got to understand that the fishing that these guys did was not the kind of fishing where you go out with your buddies and go out in the boat and fish all day long and have a great time. The fishing that these guys were doing, it was what they were trained to do. It's what they did for a living. It's how they fed their families. So when Jesus came bebopping up the road that day and said, "Follow me, guys, and I'm going to make you fishers of men," they jumped up and they went and they followed him. Why? Well, I don't think we really know why they got up and followed him so fast. Our text doesn't tell us why they did it. You know, and if Scripture doesn't tell us why, I guess it's not that big of a deal for us to want to know why they got up and followed him that day. But today we're going to explore something different. We're going to explore how these four guys got up and followed Jesus that day. Why, the how of Andrew and Peter and James and John following Jesus. And we're going to, by doing that, we're going to find out how we are supposed to follow Jesus as disciples. So, number one, we should follow Christ. How? Immediately. There's that word. There's that favorite word of Mark's. We are to follow Jesus immediately. When he comes to us, however he comes to us, and I know Jesus comes to you all, he comes to you all because he wants all of you. He wants all of you to follow him and to become disciples. So when Jesus comes and tells us when he calls us, verses 18 and verses 20 kind of tell it all today. They tell why, how these guys, not why, how they followed him. Verse 18 says, at once they left. Again, immediately they left. And verse 20 says, without delay he called them, and they left their father. Our apostles didn't waste any time. They didn't waste any time. The moment that Jesus came and he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, they were gone immediately. I remember when I was a boy, I had such a passion for playing baseball. Now, we don't have any fishermen in here, but did we have baseball players? Oh, come on. There we got a couple. Yeah. And girls, I don't know, girls, women, they play softball now. When I was growing up, we only had, in Sioux Falls, we only had one woman's team playing softball. But now, I think there's more young girls and women playing softball than there are men playing softball. But anyway, playing softball, I remember that we would play all afternoon with kids in the neighborhood, and then at night we would play in more organized baseball. And then I did go on to play softball, but I just loved playing baseball so much. And if I saw my friends come walking down the road with bats and gloves and balls, get out of my way, because I was going to go play baseball. I loved it so much. So I immediately joined them. And that's the picture that I have today of Andrew and James and Peter and John and these guys getting up and following Jesus right now. There was excitement in the air. And they were going to follow Jesus. When Jesus calls us, do we go immediately? Do we go with Jesus? When Jesus says, follow me, Jesus says, come with me, follow me. Do you leave your nets behind and your father behind and your family? And do you go and follow Jesus? You know, I think the thing that most of us say is there's no hurry. Maybe tomorrow I'll answer his call. Well, the question I ask, are you assured of tomorrow? You know, Jesus' brother James wrote in chapter 4 of his letter, verses 13 and 14. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or to that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. Are you assured of tomorrow? And Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Is tomorrow guaranteed for you? Do you know for sure that there is a tomorrow? There's a fable about three apprentice devils who came to earth for their apprenticeship. And they were talking to the chief devil, Satan. And they were telling Satan about plans that they had to tempt and ruin men. And the first one said, "I will tell them that there is no God." And Satan said, "You're not going to fool anybody. They know that there is a God." And the second one says, "I will tell them that there is no hell." And Satan answered, "You won't deceive anybody. Men know that there is hell for sin." And the third one says, "I will tell men there is no hurry." Satan got all excited and jumped up and down and was clapping. He says, "Go, you will ruin them by the thousands." Is there a tomorrow? The most dangerous day in man's life is when he learned that there is such a word as tomorrow. Folks, there are things that should not be put off. There are things that really should not be put off. For no man or woman knows if there is tomorrow. So Mark tells us here that we should follow Christ immediately. And then the second thing that Mark tells us is that we should follow Christ totally. We should follow him totally. When Christ calls us, we see here that Andrew and Peter, and they left their nets and they followed him. And verse 20 tells us that James and John left their father Zebedee in the boat and the hired men and followed him. They left everything they had and everything they knew. I'm here to tell you, folks, that following Jesus always means leaving something behind. Sometimes it's our friends and family. There are folks, I know in Sue's and my family, we got 7 kids and 17 grandkids amongst us. And not all of them are believers. And not all of our friends are believers. And they don't understand us sometimes in the way that we follow Christ. And I would bet you that just about everybody here this morning has somebody in your family or a good friend or friends who don't know Jesus. I sometimes wonder, you know, why you live your life differently and why you follow Christ instead of following the world like so many people want to do. You know, I remember I grew up a Baptist. That's not a bad word, folks. I grew up a Baptist, and I remember when I was 11 years old, I remember the time that in order to be baptized, I had to stand up in front of the church and confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I remember that clearly as if it was today. I did that before I was baptized. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But folks, I didn't accept him totally. I didn't accept him totally at that time. It took me another 35 years before I really accepted him as not only my Savior, but as my Lord, to follow him. I didn't totally commit to Jesus Christ. I didn't leave my nets and my boat and my father to follow him. I only followed him when it was convenient for me. I didn't risk anything. I played it safe. And I didn't grow spiritually for all. That's important, folks. I didn't grow spiritually. When you're not totally following Jesus, you're not going to grow spiritually. You may have confessed him. You may have confessed him as your Savior because you didn't want to go to hell or whatever reason. But did you confess him and do you follow him as your Lord? There may be some folks here today. That is where I was for 35 long years. And looking back, there were times when I almost followed him totally. Have you ever been there where you just, You know, but then you just, you hold back. You hold back. You're not quite ready. I'm reminded of something that I once read. I was almost your person today, Lord. Then I thought what it would have been like if Jesus had done the same thing. What if God had almost revealed himself in Christ? What if Christ were almost born and almost lived and almost died? What if he would have said, ask and it will almost be given you. Seek and you will almost find. Knock and it will almost be opened to you. What if he would have said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will almost give you rest. And what if Jesus had told his disciples, for whosoever would save his life will lose it, and whosoever loses his life for my sake will almost find it. You know what I'm saying? You're kind of teetering there between jumping in all the way and holding a little bit back. These guys, they got up immediately and they followed him, didn't they? They left everything behind. I'm not sure how that worked out with their families, but I got to believe that it was taken care of. You can't leave anything behind. Too many of us say almost when we should be saying all the way with Christ. Only when I said, okay, Christ, here I am. I am yours totally. You are my Lord and my Savior. Only then did I start growing spiritually. And only then did my relationship with Christ begin. And oh, how great it has been. And I remember what happened not too long after I jumped in with both feet. I ended up in seminary. I was 48 years old and I was a firefighter for 27 years. And I remember that just Christ hit me. He wasn't going to let me go almost forever. He grabbed a hold of me. And it wasn't long after that I retired from the fire department. I had two little babies. I had one that was 2 years old and one that was 2 weeks old. And I told my wife, I said, I really feel a calling to go to seminary. And she said, you have a calling to do what? Because I had a pretty good job as a firefighter. But I took an early retirement. And I couldn't hold back. I left my nets and I left my father. And I went to seminary. And believe me, folks, I don't regret it. Jump in. Become a disciple. If you're just holding on to Jesus right now just so that you'll go to heaven someday, well, he wants more. He wants you to be a disciple. As I said, you will not grow spiritually unless you jump in with both feet. When Cortes landed in Veracruz in 1519, he began his conquest of Mexico with a small force of 700 men. And he purposely set fire to his fleet of 11 ships. His men on the shore watched their only means of retreat sinking to the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico. With no means of retreat, there was only one direction to move, forward into Mexico to meet whatever might come their way. Now, there was a smart leader. Burn their escape route. Jump in. In paying price for being Christ's disciple, you must purposely destroy all avenues of retreat. No turning back. Isn't that song? No turning back. Go forward with Jesus. Remove whatever the price of being his follower you will have to pay. Okay, so immediately, to be a disciple, immediately we need to follow Jesus, and we need to follow him totally. And the third thing that our passage says this morning here is we need to follow him actively. No sitting in the pews, folks. We need to get up and we need to follow him actively. Back again to verses 18 and 20. Both verses end by saying that they followed him. They followed him. Andrew and Peter, they didn't say, well, Jesus, you know, we got some responsibilities here. Why don't you go do your thing? And why don't you write a book about it? And we'll all buy the book and we will read it. James and John, they didn't say, well, Jesus, you know what? You're a pretty good speaker. Why don't you go out and make some tapes or get yourself on YouTube and we will watch you as you do your thing. They didn't say that. They didn't say, I'll read about you, Jesus. They didn't say, I'll watch you on TV, Jesus. They got up out of their boats and they followed him. They actively followed him. They walked along with Jesus. For 3 years, they walked with Jesus. And then after Jesus went back to heaven, what did they do? They continued walking. They continued being disciples. And each one of them, but one, was martyred. Each one of them but one was martyred for being a disciple of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we think those disciples, they were kind of a sorry lot in a way, weren't they? They didn't know a lot about, we don't know a lot about Andrew, but Peter often said and did the wrong things. James and John, they were called sons of thunder by Jesus. They were kind of, you know, they were out there a little bit. They were the ones who argued about who would be the greatest in heaven. So why in the world did Jesus pick these fishermen to continue his work? I think it is because Jesus knew their hearts. Jesus knew they weren't perfect, but Jesus saw in them what others may have missed. Jesus saw in them that they were willing to get up and follow him. Jesus saw in them that they were willing to walk beside him. And that seems really, folks, that is the only criteria. That's the only criteria that Jesus looks at when he comes calling you, is if you will be willing to follow him. There's another story about the angel Gabriel talking to Jesus after he returned to heaven. Lord, said Gabriel, you have suffered terribly. Do those humans know and appreciate how you love them? And do they know what you did for them? And Jesus replied, well, not yet. At the moment, just a few people in Palestine know. Gabriel was perplexed. Then, what have you done to let everyone know about your love? And Jesus answered, I have asked Peter and Andrew and James and John and a few others to tell others about me. They will tell others who will tell still others until every person on earth has heard the story of how I gave up my life for them. Gabriel frowned and looked rather skeptical. Lord, what if they become weary? Or what if they forget? Or what if others don't listen? Surely you have made other plans. And Jesus replied, no, Gabriel, I have made no other plans. I am counting on them. Folks, Jesus is counting on you. Jesus is counting on you. I read somewhere that God doesn't look at our ability, he looks at our availability. Are you available to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Or have you got too much worldly stuff going on right now in your life? Are you almost giving everything to Christ? Or have you done that? Or are you ready to give everything to Christ? When Christ comes by and says, follow me, we should follow him immediately. Don't put it off. Do it immediately. There may not be a tomorrow, folks. We should follow him totally. Following Christ always means giving something up, leaving something behind. Christ wants your total commitment, and we should follow Christ actively. He wants us up off our backsides, following him. He wants us to walk for him. Are you ready to let Jesus lead you into discipleship? Let him be your Lord. I know many of you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Savior. Have you let him be your Lord? Have you listened to him? Follow him. Lord God, we thank you. Thank you again. Lord, I pray that everyone here will be your disciple, will be willing to continue your church, and will be ready for when you call your church home. And when Jesus looks at you and says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." What a day that will be. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we sing hymn number 427, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." 427. May the Lord go with you today. May he be with you. May he walk with you as you decide to be his disciple, as you give everything to Christ today. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.